Now we're holding on Yudches Amud Beis, the third line, the third to last line of the narrow lines. We said in the Mishnah, after we went through everything that we talked about as far as Tumas Mikdash and as far as the dinim of if a person became Tumay inside the Beis Mikdash and he has to get out of there as soon as possible, and then the related point that we discussed in detail yesterday about a person is in the middle of having relations and he has to leave in the middle, as we talked about. So then the Mishnah had finished off that now we started the Mishnah by saying that a person is going to be high of the korban as long as there was yediyah b'tchilah, yediyah b'soif, he knew at the end there was forgetting in between. We talked about at the beginning of the parak what kind of yediyah he had at the beginning. Is it enough to have what's called yediyah beis rabbi, that he just knew from cheder that a sheretz or what have you is metame, but right now he doesn't know that he himself became tame? That's enough for it to be considered yediyah, or whether we need the actual yediyah that he became tame. In any case, then he forgot, and entered the Beis Mikdash or ate kodshim b'tumah, and then he remembered afterwards. So we said that in all those cases he would be high of his korban. Whether it's that he forgot the tumah, whether it's that he forgot the mikdash, or both. So now the Mishnah had gone on to say that not everyone agrees with those concepts. First of all, we had Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who each brought a drosha from a pasuk to say that he's chayev only if he forgot that he was tomei or forgot the concept of tumah of a sheretz, but not the concept, not hela mikdash. So the Mishnah had said, Rabbi Eliezer had said that because the pasuk says a sheretz v'nela mimenu, where it mentions where he became tomei with a sheretz and he forgot, so there, and it was hidden from him. So therefore, so we learn from that, from the fact that the Torah says together sheretz tomei v'nela mimenu, means that the Torah is implying that he's high of the korban only if what he forgot was the part about the sheretz, whether we mean that he forgot the fact that a sheretz is metame, or this amount of a sheretz, let's say, like we talked about at the beginning of the perek, or whether we mean the fact that he actually became tomei with a sheretz. But Rabbi Eliezer said, if he forgot, if it was hela mikdash, he knew that he was tomei, but he forgot that this is the Beis Mikdash, then Rabbi Eliezer says that no, he would not be chai of the korban for that. Rabbi Akiva had said the same thing, but he had learned it from other words in the pasuk, the fact that it says v'nela mimenu v'hu tomei, that it is hidden from him, and he is tomei. Also, that those words in the pasuk, says Rabbi Akiva, imply that only if what he didn't know was that he was tomei, but not if he didn't know that there was a Beis Mikdash. Then we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel had said that no, since it says v'nelam twice in the psukim, then therefore it means he's chayav for either one, whether what he didn't know was the tumah or whether what he didn't know was the Beis Mikdash. So now let's analyze Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva's opinions. Now it seems Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are saying the same thing, they're just learning from different psukim. So that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Eliezer omar sheretz v'nela mimenu v'chola. Mai beinayhu, what's the actual practical difference between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva? They both seem to be saying the same thing. They're just learning in different ways that if what he didn't know was the Tumas Sheretz, then he would be high of the korban, but not if what he didn't know was the Tumas Mikdash. So Amar Chizkiya Sheretz and Avela, Ikka Beinayu. So Chizkiya says the naftamina between them would be, let's say that he didn't know whether he became Tomei with a Sheretz or a Nevela. Meaning, in other words, so he knows that he became Tomei, but he didn't know with what. So Rabbi Eliezer Savar, but inan adiyada iba sheretz itami iba nevela itami. Since Rabbi Eliezer is learning from the words in the pasuk, a sheretz v'nela mimenu, says Chizkiya, then that means that Rabbi Eliezer is going to hold that not only does he have to know that he's Tomei at the beginning and then afterwards forget it, but he also has to know what particular kind of source of tumah is his tumah coming from, whether a sheretz or a nevela. But Rabbi Akiva Savaloi Be'inan Adiyoda. Rabbi Akiva then would hold, since he learns from V'nela Mimenu V'hu Tomei, and V'hu Tomei is a generic statement, meaning that he knows that he's Tomei, and then forgets it, so Rabbi Akiva wouldn't care about that. As long as he knows that he was Tomei, then afterwards that's enough of a Yediyah at the beginning, to therefore afterwards, if he has a Helam, and then a Yediyah afterwards, for him to be Chayiv in the carbon. Rabbi Akiva would say, "Kivin diyabidi tama ba'olam," since he knows that he became Tomei somehow, loy tzorich, And therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say he doesn't need to know Iba Sheretz Itami, Iba Nevela Itami, whether he became Tomei with a Sheretz or a Nevela. Either way, Tomei is Tomei. So that's Chizkiah's explanation. So, in other words, it's true. There's not the machlokas between them is so you still have the opinion of, you still have, the fact is, they're both saying that if he forgets the mikdash, then he's potter from the korban, and only if he forgets the tumah, only if he remembers and forgets, only if he knows and forgets the tumah, that he's chayev. But what does he need to know? Is it enough that he knows in general that he's tumah, which is Rabbi Akiva, or is it that he has to know the specific source of tumah, as Rabbi Eliezer says? So the Gemara says, "V'chein omar olah sheretz nevela ikabinayhu." Olah says the same thing, that the machlokas between them would be if it was either a sheretz or a nevela, and he knows he's tomei with one of them, but he doesn't know which one, then that would be the machlokas. And the reason why Olah says that, we know that Olah says that the Olah Rami ad Rabbi Yezer umeshani, because we find that Olah points out a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yezer and reconciles it with this answer. About that there's a difference between not knowing that he was Tomei at all versus knowing that he was Tomei and just not knowing what the source of the tumor was. Namely, Ula goes as follows. Would it be so? How could it be? Is it indeed so that Rabbi Eliezer would say that you need to know the actual source of tumor? As we just said, that Chizkiah is understanding that to be. So Ula points out, you have a contradiction to that from a Mishnah in Krisos, which also features Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. You have a situation like this. Now, we know this is the case of Oshem Toleri. The classic example is, let's say, that a person has two pieces of chela, two pieces of fat in front of him. One's chela, one's not. He eats one of them, the other one is lost. He doesn't know whether what he ate was the chela or not. So he brings an Oshem Toleri, and that protects him. And if he ever finds out that the one he ate was the chela, then he's bringing a real chattas. Now, the Mishnah describes a case over there in Christus. What happens, let's say, that both things in front of him are things for which if he eats them, he's chayav kares, but different krisos. So one example is, so let's say, for example, he has two pieces in front of him. One is chaylev, the other one is chayav kares for a different reason, because it's noiser from a korban. Other examples, let's say Shabbos runs right into Yom Kippur. Nowadays, we don't have that in our calendar. Nowadays, the calendar is set up that Yom Kippur can't come right before, right out on Friday or on Sunday before or after Shabbos, but back then it could. So let's say, for example, Yom Kippur begins Motzei Shabbos, so he does Malacha at a time when it's not certain, you know, when it was definitely also one way or the other, but we don't know whether it was during the time that was Shabbos or Yom Kippur. And other examples, another example involving his wife was a Nida and his sister. In any case, the Mishnah says in all those cases, Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Mechayiv Machatas, and Rabbi Yeshua says he's Potter. And so the Mishnah says over there, Omer Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, why should he be Potter from a korban? Manafshach, either way you look at it. Chelev ocho chayev, noisa ocho chayev, regardless whether what he ate was the chelev piece or whether it was the noisa piece, either way he's going to be chayev achatas. Unlike, fine, if you have one of them is chelev and the other one is not chelev and the other one is shuman, then fine, we don't know whether he did something that's chayev kardes. But here he definitely did something that's chayev kardes. Why are you Rabbi Yeshua saying that he would be potter? Same thing, Shabbos chil chayev, Yom Kippurim chil chayev. Regardless whether what he broke was Shabbos or Yom Kippur, either way he's equally chayev. They're both an Issa Kares. Ishta Nidah Ba'a Chayev, Achose Ba'a Chayev. Whether it was his wife who was a Nidah, or whether it was his sister, either way, again, there's a Chayev Kares. So in all those three cases, Rabbi Eliezer says, you have to be Mechayev and Mechatas. So Omaloi Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua answers him, Harehu Omer, no, because after all, the pasuk says, Oi hoida elav chatosa shachotava. When there was the word oi literally means or, but in that pasuk it means when. When there is informed to him his chet that he did. Now, unlike Thomas Mr. Shakodshav that we've been dealing with in these last two prakim, with these other averas, you don't need a yediyah betchila, even if he never knew that chela was also, even if he never knew whether what he ate is chela, as long as he did actually eat it, b'shoigig, and then found out afterwards he's going to be chayav a korban. Anyway, the pasuk says, when there is informed to him the chet, achatose, ashachotabah, the sin with which he sinned. Now, why does it have to say the word b'? What does that word add to say? Therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua, you learn from that, that only if he knows the particular thing that he did wrong. So yes, in these cases, one way or the other, he did something that's chayav of karis. But the fact is, he doesn't know whether what he ate was chaylev or noisa, or whether what he broke was Shabbos, even Kippur, etc. And therefore, Rabbi Yeshua says, the word bach in the pasuk teaches us that he's not bringing a chatas for that. To even know the particular aveda that he did. Anyway, the point is, Rabbi Eliezer, obviously we see that Rabbi Eliezer holds that you don't need to know. So Ola pointed out there seems to be a contradiction. Here we just explained that in our Mishnah, Chizki had explained Rabbi Eliezer to be saying that when it comes to Tumah, he needs to know whether he became Tomei with a Sheretz or with an Avela in order for it to trigger the whole Korban Ola V'Yerded, whereas over there he doesn't seem to be caring whether the person, there over there he doesn't care whether the person knows that what he ate was Chelev or Noser, etc. Umashani, and Ola gave an answer. Now, so the point is, in other words, Ola obviously agrees with that premise that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer holds that he's chayev even if he doesn't know what he became tummy with. Or rather, that Rabbi Eliezer holds in our Mishnah that he does need to know what he became tummy with, and if not, there's no korban Ola V'Yerded, because that's why Ola is pointing out a contradiction. So that's what we're saying before, that when we started by saying that Chizki explains Rabbi Eliezer that way, then we're saying Ola explains Rabbi Eliezer that way too. Now, what about the contradiction? Umashani. So Ola gave the answer. Hosam, the difference is because we have to look at the wording of the pasuk in each place. Hosam, ashachotah behavi omarachmana. When it comes to the chayla versus noiser, etc., the pasuk says that he sinned behavi, then he has to bring his korban. Imply omarachmana is what the Torah says. Implying chotah kol shehu, meaning no matter what, as long as he knows that he was chotah, then even if he doesn't know what the particular chet was, then he's still bringing the korban. Chachah, whereas when it comes to the korban olav yerid, mechti ksib b'chol dover tomei, the pasuk already says they became tomei with anything that would make him tomei. So why would the pasuk have to add the words or that he became tomei with the body of a dead sheretz? Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, because of those extra words in the pasuk, is why he has to know the particular thing that he became tomei with. So that would be the answer. Rabbi Eliezer is being inconsistent in the two cases, because the Torah itself is making a distinction between these two cases and saying in one case it matters that he knows what he became tomei with, according to Rabbi Eliezer's drasha, and in the other case it doesn't. Okay. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva? According to that way of looking at it, why does Rabbi Akiva disagree? He says that's not a proof, the fact that the Torah mentioned the words Oyber Niblas Sheretz Tomei. Now, let's look at the whole pasuk that Rabbi Eliezer is learning from. So the pasuk describes that a person, oy nefesh ashtika b'chol davar tomei, a person who touches anything that's tomei, oy b'nivlas chayet meya, oy b'nivlas behemet meya, oy b'nivlas sheretz tomei, he touched a dead body of a chayet meya or behemet meya or sheretz tomei, v'nel amimenu, and he doesn't know about it, v'hu yodan, v'hu tomei, and he becomes tomei, v'oshim, then he's guilty, and then the pasuk goes on to describe, he brings the korban olav. So I mentioned three sources of tumah. Two of them are nivlas behema, nivlas chaya tmeya, and nivlas behema tmeya, which have exactly the same dinim. They're both of them. It takes a kazayas of it to make them tomei, and they're matame b'mago over masa, whether he touches it or carries it. And then you have sheretz tomei, which is a different class of tumah. It's tumas sheretz, where there it's only kadosha, it's the size of a lentil. That's matame him, and again b'mago over masa. So we're saying like this. Rabbi Eliezer says because it already said that he became tomei, therefore it doesn't need to specify all these various types of tumas, and if it does, it means he has to know the particular type of tumah, whether it was nevela or sheretz. Rabbi Akiva answers to that, no. The reason why, because it had to say behema and chaya, and the reason for that is l'chid Rebbe, to teach us Rebbe's drosha, which we had previously on Daf Zayin. We discussed the question that the pasuk mentions only in the pasuk only. So the pasuk says they became tomei, but how do we know that? How do we know that he's bringing, and we discussed over there, how do we know that he's, that when he became Tomei means there's Tumas Mikdash for Kodcha, means specifically that then when he was Tomei, during this time of Helam, he went into the Beis Mikdash or he ate Kodshim. And how we know that it's not Truma, and how we know it's both Mikdash and Kodshav. So we brought in that connection, a Drosha of Rebbe, that Agzeira Shava. Because it says over here, Behema Tmeya, and in a different Pasuk, it also mentions, Behema Tmeya, where a person touches a Behema Tmeya, and then where a person touches the dead body of a Behema Tmeya, and then he eats Kodshim, then he's Chayav Koris, so therefore we can learn from that, that also the psukim here in Parshas Vayikra that talk about the korban early v'yerdet is talking about not just that he became tumei, but afterwards during that time of tumei he ate kodshim. So we need so we had that drasha of Rebbe where we use the word behema for that gzeirah shava. So therefore, so once it says that ksiv nami sheretz, then therefore the pasuk also writes sheretz. And you're going to say in that case, fine, the word behemoth you need for the Gzeira Shava, but why do you need the word sheretz? And you're going to say, like Rabbi Eliezer says, in that case, the word sheretz is extra, and you can learn something from it. No, because it's taught by Rabbi Shmuel. The reason would be like the way we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, called parasha shenem of anishness, when you find a parasha in the Torah that's said in one place and then repeated someplace else, lo anishness elabedifish bishvil dover shenishkadish ba. The reason why it's repeated is because there's some particular detail that's new in it. In other words, many times, says Rabbi Shmuel, the Torah will tell us something in one place, then it'll repeat that concept in another place. You're going to say in that case, why is it extra? Why is it repeating? Because there's one particular detail that it adds in the new place which you wouldn't have known otherwise. And once it's doing that, then already it's going to say the whole rest of the thing as well, and not necessarily are we meant to learn something else from the rest of the repetition. So the same way over here, once it needs to say behema, then already the Torah is going to throw in over there also chaya and sheretz, because once it's mentioning one of them for the Gzeira Shava, then it needs to mention the others as well. But not necessarily does that mean that we should learn anything from the word sheretz, because it's only that kind of thing. Once we're mentioning one, then we're going to have to mention all of them. So Rav Akiva says, I'm not bothered by the fact that it says sheretz, and I don't have to douch in from it like Rebbe Eliezer, because it doesn't really say sheretz to learn anything from, just because it had to say behema, then therefore it says the other ones. It comes out, in other words, from that Rebbe Eliezer would disagree with that concept. And in fact, the Chassam Sofer points that out, and the Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Chassam Sofer point that out in various places in their writings. And in fact, we see that Rebbe Eliezer Taka doesn't hold of that concept. He holds that everything needs to be Daushin. And then you have Rishonim, you have the Ritva, and the Ramban talk about that. Fine, Rabbi Shmuel is going to say this when you don't really have anything else to darshan from it. Then you're going to say that it's only Bishvil Dovash and Ischadish Ba, and that Rabbi Akiva would agree with that concept. So over here, Rabbi Akiva takes the view that there's nothing particular to darshan from it, because he holds, since the pasuk says afterwards, the Nelam Menu Vahu Tomei, implies that no matter what the Helam was, as long as he knows that he was Tomei, and then forgets it, as long as he knows the concept of Tumah, and then forgets it, and then remembers again, then he's going to be Chayev, and therefore he can't douch in from Sheretz, and therefore he's going to say that it's there only because of that. Tosfos discusses a little bit the point over here that why it needs to say Behema and Chayev, and on the face of it, you could have said the same thing without the word chaya as well, and then the point is, in other words, because the Gemara is saying that it had to say behema v'chaya, but why indeed does it need to say chaya based on what we said before? But the Gzeira Shava on the face of it would have needed to say only behema. So Tosfos takes up that point a little bit. In any case, fine. So we said that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua are arguing about the case where he did something that is definitely Chayev Koris, but he doesn't know which one it was. Namely, we said, for example, he has Chalev and Noiser in front of him, and he eats one of them, and he's not sure which one. So we said Rabbi Yeshua is Mechayev and Makorban Chatas, and Rabbi Eliezer was saying that Rabbi Eliezer, rather, it was Mechayev and Machatas, because one way or the other, he did something that was Chayev Kodesh, and Rabbi Yeshua, we said, Patus him. We said that Rabbi Yeshua learns from the word bo, that it means he has to know the specific thing. So, Rabbi Eliezer, hi, bo, my ovidle. What is Rabbi Eliezer doing with that word bo? Oy, hoy, de, elochatose, ashechot, bo. And the answer is, Rabbi Eliezer holds that, you know, the word bo comes to teach us problem is asik. It comes to exclude a case of misasik. Misasik means that he's involved with something of heter, and he accidentally did something of isser. So therefore, so one example is in connection with Hilchos Shabbos, he intended to cut a vegetable which was already detached from the ground. And by mistake, instead he cut one that's still attached to the ground. That kind of thing is called misasik. Another example Rashi gives would involve Arias. He intends to have relations with his wife, and meanwhile his wife left the bed, and his sister, and then his sister was sleeping in the same bed, and then by accident, yeah. So that kind of thing is called misasik. In other words, the difference is, Rashi says, you can have a case, for example, where he thought, you can have a case, for example, where he thought this particular vegetable was detached, and it turns out to be attached. That's not misasik, that's a different thing. Misasik would be, he meant to cut one vegetable, by mistake, he cut a different vegetable, which was attached to the ground. So Rabbi Eliezer says, therefore, we're learning from the word bo, that in that case, he would be potter. Because he didn't intend to cut this vegetable at all. He didn't intend to have relations with that woman lying in the bed at all, etc. So therefore, say it'd be Potter. Tosfos discusses in some detail over here about this whole business of misasik. Tosfos says, actually, there are really two different kinds of misasik. We have what we're saying over here, that he intended, there could be a case where he intended to cut one vegetable which is attached to the ground and instead cut a different one. So then he's potter, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, he's potter because you need Malachas Machsheves, versus you have the kind of misasik we're talking about over here, where he intended to cut one that was already detached and pick it up, and instead by mistake he did one that was attached to the ground. So it comes out actually Tosfos explains they don't accept Rashi's definition of misasik here at all. It would rather have to be that there was he intended to cut or to pick up a particular vegetable that he thought was attached to the ground, and instead he did a different, and then it turned out that same one was in fact mechubos, and not like Rashi says that there were two different vegetables involved over here, but rather that it was one, but he thought it was detached and it turned out to be attached. Whatever the case, so you have these various cases of misasik that Rashi and Tosfos are defining over here, and so Rabbi Eliezer is saying, in that case, he would be potter from achatos, and the reason is because of that word bo. So that's what he's doing with that. So he doesn't have it available for Rabbi Yeshua's drasha about to know about that. It doesn't matter whether he knows the particular issur kares or not. Okay. In any case, so that's all. So all of that is one way of explaining. Well, that is one way of explaining the machlokes in our Mishnah. So again, to recap, according to Chizkiyah and according to Ullah, the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are both saying in our Mishnah that as long as he knows that he's Tomei, then or as long as he knew at one point the concept of Tumah, as we discussed at the beginning of the parak, there's the question whether we say, when we say Yediyah B'Tchila, does it mean to know that he was Tomei, or does it just mean to know in the abstract that these things make a person Tomei, namely that he learned in Cheder? Anyway, then he forgot. He went into the Beis Hamikdash, ate Kodshim. Then he remembered again. So Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Mechayev and a Korban, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva is also going to be Mechayev and a Korban, but on different grounds, namely based on different drushas from the Pesukim. On the other hand, when it comes to two types of Kores, two types of Issur Kores, and he was over on one of them, and he's not sure which one, then Rabbi Eliezer is going to be Mechayev and Machatas regardless. So all of that is one way of explaining that Rabbi Eliezer, there is an actual naftamina between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, namely in that case where he knows that he was Tomei, but he doesn't know what he was Tomei with. So now, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that whole concept. He says, no, Mashmos Doshin, Ikabinayu. The only argument between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva is just which one, what we darshan from. In other words, there's no actual practical nafkamina. It's just which pasuk do they doubt it from? Now, there could be an outgrowth of a nafka mina from it. Let's say, for example, you know, if they have another drasha that they're going to learn from each other's respective psukim, are they going to douse it or not? But at least in this context over here, we're saying that the only machlokas between them is how to douse in the same din. And the Gemara says, "V'cheinam Rav Sheshes Mashmos Dershin Ikumenayu." Rav Sheshes also says that it's only Mashmos Dershin, which word it's Machloikus is only which pasuk, which words in the pasuk to darshin it from, but there's no actual nafka mina lahalacha. And we know that did Rav Sheshes Machlef did Rabbi Yezer or Rabbi Akiva or did Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Yezer, because we see that Rav Sheshes, when he would learn our Mishnah, sometimes he would flip around the opinions. Sometimes he would say, sometimes he would attribute Rabbi Eliezer's opinion in our Mishnah to Rabbi Akiva and vice versa. Now, if there was a nafka mina lahalacha, he wouldn't be allowed to do that. There's in fact a sifri that says on it when we have the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim, it's in Shreifim. When you have the pasuk, lois sasig gvur reacha, don't move your neighbor's landmark, like to take over some of his field and make it part of yours. So the Sifri says over there that also means you're not allowed to interchange the opinions of Chachamim and say that the one who really says that it's Tomei actually says Toher or vice versa. That would be an example of lois sasig. But here, if Sheshes is saying, in effect, there's no actual nafkimina between them and halacha, and therefore I can feel free to switch around the opinion. So we see that he holds that Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no actual nafka mina between them and halacha. So in other words, it would come out, so the Rimi Gash spells out, in other words, that according to that, it would mean neither of them holds that he needs to know which kind of Avat Tumah it was, neither of them holds. You need to know whether it was a Sheretz, or whether it was a Nevela, or what have you, as long as he knows the Tumah. He knows the concept of Tumah if we say that that's enough, or he knows that he himself became Tumah if we see that. Next. Bamine Rava mir Rav Nachman. Rava asks Rav Nachman, what about a person who's Tumah, goes into the Bais Mikdash, Helem Zev Zev Yodei Mahu? What about if he didn't know either one? He didn't know that he was Tumah, and he also didn't know that he's in the sight of the Bais Mikdash. So what would be the din? Now, the question is, in other words, rather, according to Rabbi Shmuel, and the halacha in the end is like Rabbi Shmuel, that he has to bring the korban either way, then there's no question. Obviously, he has to bring the korban. The question would be, according to Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Eliezer, where we're saying now, however we understand their machloikas, whether like Chizkiya and Ola, or whether like Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Sheshes, either way, they both agree that if he knows that he was Tomei, but what he forgot was that this is the Bais Mikdash, or didn't know that this was the Bais Mikdash, then he would be potter from the korban, because both of them are learning from their respective drushes that they're the tumah, that the helam that we're dealing with over here is helam tumah. So now, according to their opinions, helam zev zev viyade mahu, what would happen according to them if he didn't know either one, that he was Tomei or that this was the Bais Mikdash? Is he going to be chayav the korban or not? Omalei, said Rav Nachman, tells him, what's the problem? The fact is, he doesn't know that he's Tomei, and therefore that's enough to be mechayav him. We don't care that he doesn't know whether there's a Bais Mikdash, whether it's the Bais Mikdash or not. So Rabbah asks him, Ad Rabbah had a helam mikdash biyadei potter. On the contrary, though, you would have reason to argue that he also doesn't know that this is the Bais Mikdash. And as we said, they learn from a pasuk that if he doesn't know that if it was the Bais, if what he didn't know was that this is the Bais Mikdash, then that's reason to potter him. So maybe that would apply in this case as well. Maybe we would say that he is in fact potter, because maybe it's Xeris HaKosev, that any time he doesn't know he's in the Bais Mikdash, then he would be potter. So the Torah Chaim teaches out, in other words, that in this kind of case, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, if he knew, what would he do if he knew that he was Tomei? Would that necessarily prevent him from going in? No, because he doesn't know that the site is the Bais Mikdash. So maybe therefore, maybe we should ignore the fact that he doesn't know that he's Tomei, and therefore he would be potter. On the other hand, maybe not. And the fact is, either was Helam Tumah over here, and maybe that's enough to be Mechayim him. Omer of Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, here's how we're going to solve. And Tosfos discusses that in the next parak we're going to have something else as far as Helam Shavua and Helam Chayfik. Next parak we're going to talk about the details of Shavua's Bitu. You can have a case where a person forgot what he swore about, and he also forgets that this thing is the object that's also, and there Rav Nachman says that he's going to be Chayev, and here we're saying, on the other hand, that he's saying that he's Potter. So Tosfos explains his reasons to distinguish between them. When we get to Daf Chavav a week from now, Be'ez Hashem, I guess we can analyze that point further once we understand what we discussed over there. Anyway, the question is, Rava's answer is asking that he should be chayev, that he should be potter regardless, because the fact is, because of the helam mikdash, maybe that overrides the helam tumah, and therefore that's enough to potter him. Now, Tosfos has an interesting discussion over here. Tosfos says that Rabbeinu Tam would actually hold that in that case, even though he'd be potter from a korban olah v'yored, nevertheless, Rabbeinu Tam learns that even if we go like Rava, that he would be potter from the korban olah v'yored, he would actually be chayav a korban chatas, a regular korban chatas. Because after all, the rule is you have to bring a regular korban chatas for anything which there would be koris, and there's definitely Kodesh over here for entering the Mishnah Teshtome. And therefore, so Rav is not asking whether he's Potter completely from a Korban, says Rabbeinu Tam. He's asking only that he should be Potter from a Korban or the Yerid, but still have to bring a regular Chatas. Tosfos has several questions about that, and they don't like that explanation, and they say that no, it would be Potter completely. It's an example of Dovah Shehoyah Bechlal, V'yotzim and Akhlal Alam, V'yotzim Lidin, V'dovah Chodosh. This is an example of one of the Shloishas Yomidus, that's Shatur and Adreshas, that when you have something which is part of a general category, and then the Torah says something specific, unique to it, then we say, Iyat Yochalach, Zeru Lechlal, Abshiyachzana, Akhlasiv Lechol, Abafedosh, you can't put it back in the general category unless the Torah tells you. In other words, you would say like this, you have a Dovah Shehoyah Bechlal, in general, a person is chayev. A person brings a chatas for anything for which he would have been chayev kares. Here you have the yotzal lidin b'davach chodesh. Here instead, the Torah tells you a novelty that for tumas mikdash v'kodeshav, instead of a regular chatas, there is a korban olah v'yored. Well then, iyat arashoy lachzir lechlolei, iyat yochel lachzir lechlolei. So then you can't return it to the klal and make him ever be chayev chatas. Ad sheyachzrenu akosav lechlolei b'feirush, unless the Torah tells you so. And since it doesn't, then no, not Tosfos says, not like Rabbeinu Tam, that he would be chayev chatas. In that case, he would actually be completely potter. There are different other mephoshim that address how would Rabbeinu Tam answer that. One thing is that Ritva points out that we also talked about, of course, before we had the point that if he doesn't know to begin with that he was Tomei, then we have the one of the korbanos of Yom Kippur is mechaper for him. So, and we said that it can't be mechaper for him if he has his own korban. So the Ritva says, okay, listen, when there's ein b'yadia b'tchila, then how can we make him be more machmer on him and require him to bring a regular chatas when otherwise he would bring a korban olah v'yored? But here we're talking about where there was yediyah, but then there was helam mikdash. So in any case, Kehilas Yaakov goes and explains why Rabbeinu Tam would hold that this is not yotzal lidin b'davar chadash. That he understands that there's actually two different kinds of Isurim over here, and there's various other discussions among other Achronim about to work out Rabbeinu Tam's opinion and how to answer Tosfos' objections about it. Okay. In any case, the point is that so that's the question. Therefore, so Rava is saying, you're telling me, Rav Nachman, that he's going to be that he's going to be chayev because helam tuma, but maybe the fact that there's helam mikta should override that. So Amar Rav Ashi chazinan. So Rav Ashi says, let's look at the actual situation. Imi tuma kaparish. Let's see what happens if he stops doing it when we tell him about the tuma. Namely, in other words, so we tell him you are tomei, and immediately he says, oyvei, what did I just do? Well then, harei helam tuma biyode v'chayim. Then it means what he had forgotten was the tuma. In other words, that shows. That primarily what he had forgotten was the fact that he was Tomei. So then, even though there may have been a hell on both of them, but as soon as he says, oi, what am I doing over here? Then we realize he obviously didn't completely not know that he was in the business. But primarily, what he didn't know was the Tumah, and therefore that's reason, even according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, to be Mechayev him. Imi Mikdash Kaparish, but if if what we tell him is, we tell him this is a place of the Beis HaMikdash, and we don't even mention that he's Tomei, and he starts leaving, then Helam Mikdash B'yado, your Potter. Then that shows what he forgot was that he had been in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that would be reason to Potter him, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, who say that the Pasuk is saying that he's Chayev only if what he forgot was the Tumah. Now, Tosfos wonders, wait a minute, what kind of a thing is that? And if they tell him he's Tomei, and he says, oi, what did I do? Well, maybe if they told him it's a Mikdash, then he would have also said the same thing. How are we supposed to know what he would have reacted if they had told him something different? So Tosfos says, fine, Rav Ashi is not coming to answer the question completely. He's saying that sometimes we have a way. Sometimes we'll have a way of knowing which one we can that we can ask him. For example, we can ask him afterwards. You know, we had told you that you were Tomei, and therefore you reacted this way. What if we had told you that it was Mikdash? Would you have reacted in the same way or not? So we can ask him after the fact how he evaluates for himself how he would have reacted. And then Tosfos says that it means. Let's say they did tell him both things, so if they first told him, you know, this is the Beis HaMikdash, and you're Tomei, it's true if they just told him you're Tomei, that might have been all by itself, but the point is we're gonna go according to the last one that we told him. If we tell him you're Tomei and this is the Beis HaMikdash, then we're always gonna go Tosfos as according to the last thing that we told him. Okay. So that's Rav Ashi's answer, is that we have to look at because of what is he leaving. Omale Ravina le Rav Ashi, but Ravina says to Rav Ashi, still, how does that work? Klum Porish Mimikdash. The fact is, you do need both of them. Klum Porish Mimikdash, Elamishum Tumah. The fact is, he would only be leaving the Beis HaMikdash only because he knows he's Tomei. So when we tell him one of them, then he starts thinking, wait a minute. Okay, so you're telling me I'm Tomei. So? Oh, but wait, this is the Beis HaMikdash. So then he does remember both of them, but there was Elam on both of them. Kum Porish Mituma Elam Mishum Mikdash. And so would he leave because of the Tuma unless he also knew that this was the Mikdash? So ultimately, the fact is, when we remind him about one, he's going to think about the other one as well. So we're back to the question then. Is Helam Zev Zev Yodai? And according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, he's Potter when there was Helam Mikdash. So how can you tell me? We ask him and we see what he would have held back from or whatever. The fact is, you need both of them in order for him to leave. Ella, so Ravina says, Loishna, there's no difference either way. No, not like Rav Nachman had said, Helam Zev Zev Potter. In fact, in both cases, he would be Potter because as long as there's any Helam Mikdash involved, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are going to say that he's Potter. Now the Gemara had said Loi Shno. You could understand it to mean that either way he's Chayev. The Ritzvah explains actually that that's actually why the Gemara had said before, when Rava had said a few lines ago, Adraba Hari Helam Mikdash B'yadei Potter, means in other words that this is more of a reason to say that he should be Potter, not more of a reason to say that he's Chayev. Because again, the pasuk says v'nelam menu v'hu tomei, or according to Rabbi Eliezer's Zerusha Hasheretz v'nelam menu. Either way, the point is that according to them, the Torah is specifically being memai that if he knew the Tumah and forgot the Beis HaMikdash, then he's going to be Potter, and therefore that means any time when there's forgetting of the Beis HaMikdash, then automatically he's Potter, even if it's together with the Helam of another thing, namely that he was Tomei. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is saying loishna, it wouldn't matter. The halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, so therefore it doesn't really matter anyway, no matter what he's chayav. But the point is, we're saying that according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, in fact, he would be Potter if there was Helam of both of them. Okay. Now, let's talk about this Yediyah V'Tchila. We've been saying throughout these two parakim that you need to have Yediyah V'Tchila. There needs to be a knowledge at the beginning that he was of Tumah in order for him to then afterwards, there's the Helam, and then there's the Yediyah afterwards for him to bring the Korban. So let's talk about the nature of the Yediyah that he needs to know. At the beginning of the parak, we talk about Yediyas Beis Rabbi, where there's the Yediyah, the knowledge that a Sheretz or Nevela would have you make some Tomei in a certain amount, versus, we said, the Yediyah of the actual Tumah itself. So here we're going to talk about within the Tumah itself, the Yediyah of the Tumah itself, but what exactly he knows about it. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Shnei Shvilin, Echad Tomei Ve'Echad Tahor. You have, this is a classic example in many places in Shas, you have two paths, one is Tomei, one is Tahor. So one of them has a mess buried underneath it in such a way, for example, where there's no way to walk on that path without becoming Tomei from the mess. So you have two of them, but you don't know which one is the Tomei one. So now a person walked on the first one, the Loy Nichnas, and after that he did not go into the Bais HaMikdash yet. Basheni, then he went on the second one. Now, one way or the other, he's definitely Tomei, either from the first one, or after the first one, he's only Safek Tomei. After the second one, he's Vadei Tomei. Chayev, v'nichnas, and then he goes into the Mikdash, Chayev, then he's going to be Chayev the Korban or the Yored, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that is, who says that he's chayev for either helam tumah or helam mikdash. So he's going to be in other words, now at this point there is a yediyah b'tchila because he knows one way or the other that he was tameh, even though he doesn't know at which time he became tameh. The Torah Chaim points out, it doesn't have to say that he didn't go into the Bais HaMikdash after the first one. That wouldn't really matter. The point is that once he goes in after the second one, then definitely he's going to be chayev a korban or the beyarded. Reb Shimon Poiter, however, Reb Shimon says even in that case he would be Poiter. He knows that when it comes to the first one, if he went in after the first one, he would in fact be potter because he doesn't know. There's no necessarily yediyah b'tchila. He doesn't necessarily know that when he went in there he was tomei. But by the time he comes after he went on the second half, there's no question that he's tomei, and therefore he's going to be chayev for that. But even then, Reb Shimon is still going to say that he's potter for reasons that we're going to explain. Tosfos, by the way, points out that we have to be now we have the famous concept throughout Shas of Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid versus Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim. There's a Sofek whether a person became Tomei if it's in Rishus HaYochid. In general, we say it's considered Tomei. If it was in Rishus HaRabim, generally we say that it's Sofek is Tahor. We learn that from various cases. The fact that Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaYochid is Tomei, we learn from the Soita. The fact that Sofek Tumah B'Rishus HaRabim is Tahor, we learn from other places. In any case, the Tanakhama would say over here in this Braisa, so Tosfos explains that we have to be talking about that this is in Rosh Hashanah. The two Shvilim are in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore he's Sofek Tumah Rosh Hashanah is Tahor. But if he went on both of them, there's no question that he's Tomei, and therefore he's going to be Chayev now for Tumas Mitzvah Kodeshav. That's according to Tosfos. There's actually the Ur Sameach actually brings differently and discusses that it may be talking about even in Rosh HaYachid. Anyway, Reb Shimon Poiter, Reb Shimon says no, because each time there was no Yediyah Vadois, either way there was no certain, each time there was no certain knowledge that he became Tomei with this one. I skipped a couple of lines over here. That's the Reb Shimon Poiter is on another case. So fine. If he went on one and then he went on the other and he didn't go and he didn't get sprinkled with Torah Adrumah water in between, everybody's going to agree that he's Chayev, according to Reb Shmuel, that is, because then there's no question when he went into the Bais HaMikdash after the second one, there's no question that he was Tomei. But Holach Berishin, what if he went on the first one and became Sofek Tomei? At that point he went into the Bais HaMikdash, and at that point there was only a Yediyah Sofek. He didn't know whether he was Tomei yet, and therefore we can't be Mechayev in the Korban. The Hizah V'Shana V'Toval, he got sprinkled with Torah Adrumah water, and on the third day and the seventh day, like it says in the Pasuk, and he Toveled, and then V'Achata Cholach V'Sheni, then he went on the second one, and again it's Sofek Tomei, V'Nichnas, and he goes into the Bais HaMikdash. So now the Tanakhama says Chayev, then he would be Chayev because one way or the other, he definitely went into the Bais HaMikdash when he was Tomei. He doesn't know which time it was that he was Tomei, the first or the second, and in between he was Tahor. Doesn't matter, says the Tanakhama, either way he's going to be Chayev. Reb Shimon says he would be Potter because each time there's no Yediyah Vadois, each time he doesn't know for certain that this time he was Tomei. So in the earlier case where there was no Tahara in between, no question that he's Chayev because one way or the other, from the first Shvil or the second Shvil, he's Tomei. But here where he became became Tahar from the first one, and therefore there was only a Yediyah Safek whether he was Tomei the first time around, and the same thing, or there's only a Yediyah Safek the second time around, then Reb Shimon is going to pass him. And Braisa continues, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Poitu Bekulon, Mishum Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, quoting his Rebbe, Reb Shimon, say that he's Poitu in all these cases, meaning, in other words, he would say, even in the first case, even in the first case, where he went on the first path and then on the second one, and he was not Torah in between, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda is going to say that still he's Potter from the Korban in the Mishnah, he's still Potter from the Korban Olah V'Yored, for reasons that the Gemara is going to discuss now. So let's analyze this Braisa. So what do you mean? This opinion of Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, the Kulon, you're telling me Reb Shimon ben Yehuda would say he's Potter in all three cases? Even in the first case of the Braisa, where he went on the first path, then on the second path, and then went into the Bismikdash, why should he be Potter? No matter what, he is Tomei. So the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, we understand, I mean, Mechayev him. Why is Reb Shimon ben Yehuda saying he's Potter in that case? And the answer is, Omar Rava, Hochamaya Skinnan, Guncha Holach Berishin, because the case the Braisa would be talking about, he did go on the first path, and he knows that, but, Ubisharsha Holach Bashani, but then, when he walked on the second path, Shochach Shaholach Berishin, he forgot that previously he had walked on the first one. So therefore, Dehavilan Mixas Yediyah, so therefore he doesn't have a complete Yediyah, that he doesn't have a complete Yediyah to begin with, that he became Tomei. Yes, objectively he was completely Tomei, but he doesn't know that. So he only knew part of it. So he thought, in other words, when he walked on the second path and then went into the Beis Hamikdash, at that point he thinks there's only a Safek Tumah on him. He doesn't know that at this point he's Vadai Tomei. So now the machlokas would be the Tanakama Sava, the Tanakama and Reb Shimon would hold. So the Tanakhama, and according to the version recorded in the Braisa of Reb Shimon's opinion, they would hold Amrinan Mixas Yediyah Kechol Yediyah. We would say that this partial knowledge is considered like complete knowledge. So therefore, it's enough for it to be considered Yediyah Batrila. So he didn't know the entire thing. He didn't know whether he's Vadei Tomei. He thought that he was only Safek Tomei. But afterwards, if he forgets that point as well, and he goes into the Beis Mikdash, and later on he remembers what happened, then we're still saying there's only Mixas Yediyah, and therefore the Tanakhama and the first version of Reb Shimon are going to hold that he's still Chai of the Korban. Reb Shimon Sovar, Lo Yaminen Mixas Yediyah Kechol Yediyah. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda's understanding of Reb Shimon would say that no, that Mixas Yediyah is not enough to be Mechayev him. It has to be that he knew for sure that he was Tomei, and now he doesn't know for sure because when he went on the second path, he forgot that he'd been on the first one. So again, in other words, if he went on the first one and then knowing that he's Safek Tomei, he went on the second one, there's no question he's going to be Chayev afterwards for Tumas Mikdash V'Kodshav, when afterwards he forgets the entire thing and then goes into the Beis Mikdash, etc. But here, where to begin with, when he went on the second one, he didn't even remember that there was a Safek Tumah from beforehand. Now he goes into the Beis Mikdash. And now he forgets this. So on Sunday he walks on the first path. Monday he forgets that he walked on the first one and walks on the second one. Now he has, at this point, he knows that he's Safek Tumah because he doesn't remember that he'd walked on the first one and that he's Vadei Tumah. Tuesday he forgets both of them and goes into the Beis Mikdash. And Wednesday he remembers. So when he went in on Tuesday, there was only Mixas Yediyah. There had been beforehand on Monday only Mixas Yediyah. He had never known for sure that he was Tomei. So the Tanakhama and the first version of Reb Shimon are holding that that's enough to be Mechayev him. Reb Shimon Yehuda holds that Reb Shimon says that no, that he'd still be Potter. Okay. So that explains that. Now, what about then? Let's continue the Braisa. Let's continue analyzing the Braisa. Holach Berishin. Now we said in the Braisa, you have the other case where he walked on the first path of the Nichnas, and then he went into the Beis Mikdash after that with the Safek Tumah, and we said for that for sure he's Potter from a Korban because you can't be Mechayev from a Korban for going into the Beis Mikdash with Safek Tumah. or that he forgot that there was suffix to him. That's one thing. In other words, in the case that we just constructed, there was. He knew, at least he had enough of a yediyah to know that there was suffix to him, but he, and then, so in other words, it actually makes a distinction that in the where he knows the entire thing, and there's still a suffix, but here, after all, when he with the two paths in the case that we just constructed, what he the detail that he forgot would have made it a complete idea. Whereas, in other words, if you have a case of suffix tumah to begin with, so let's say he only went on the first path. Well, he went on the first path. What he's lacking is not the knowledge of whether he went on that path, but whether that path makes him tumah. That's not considered mixed idea. Mixed idea would be something where he knows part of something, where if he knew the rest of it, then he would know, wait, I definitely am Tomei, and here that's not the case. So now, the case is, he went on the first path, and therefore there's only a suffix idea. So now he forgets that and goes into his mikdash. So now, the Braisa continues, he's a Vishana. Now he got sprinkled twice with the paradrumal water, with Tovah and Tovos, Chosav HaHolach B'Sheni, and then he went on the second path, the Nichnas, then he went into this Mikdash. Chayev, then the Tanakhama said he's going to be Chayev, because one way or the other, there was a time when they went, so because, again, one way or the other, he was obviously Tomei at some point, either from the first path or the second. One of them is definitely Matame, him. And now, either the first time or the second time, he went in with Tumah. But Reb Shimon Poiter, there we said Reb Shimon, without even Reb Shimon Yehuda, here we have Reb Shimon himself, is saying that he's Poiter. So the question is, Reb Shimon's opinion is easy enough to understand. Because the fact is, he doesn't know either time whether he was Tomei, whether there's no certain Yediyah before the Helem in order to be Mechayev him. So again, it's one thing when there's Mixus, what we called before Mixus Yediyah, but here you don't even have that. So Reb Shimon's opinion is easy to understand, but why, according to the Tanakhama, it's only a suffix yediyah. There was no definite yediyah in the first place, because each time it was only a suffix tumah. How can the Tanakhama be mechayev him on the basis of that yediyah and then forgetting it afterwards? So Omer Rabbi Yochanan can offer suffix yediyah ki yediyah. So Rabbi Yochanan says very simple. Over here, the Chachamim treat a suffix yediyah like a yediyah. All you need is yediyah b'tchila over here. This is not the kind of yediyah that you have by all other yisurim shabbat Torah, where you need a yediyah at the end. Here, all we're talking about is you need some kind of yediyah b'tchila in order to start the whole process rolling. So Rabbi Yochanan says that for this kind of thing, even a suffix yediyah would be enough in order to trigger the thing. So therefore, yes, you're asking that it shouldn't work, but over here it does actually work. Reish Lakish says no, different answer over here. So Tosfos draws the distinction, by the way, at the beginning of the parak, we had the case where a person touched a lentil-sized piece of a sheretz, and he doesn't know that a lentil-sized piece is enough to make him tumah, or whether you need a kazayas. So there, you don't know whether there's tumah over here at all in what he touched. Here, he knows there is tumah someplace, because either the first or the second path was definitely metameh him, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says that even though each one was a separate entry into the Mishnah, nevertheless, that's enough to be mechayev him according to the Chachamim. Reish Lakish says no. Hamani Rabbi Shmuel he damal lebein lo yediyah v'tchila. Reish Lakish says that no. The Braisa that we just quoted about the Shnei Shvilim, the Tanakhama of that Braisa would have to be according to Rabbi Shmuel, who holds, as we learned previously, that he doesn't require yediyah v'tchila according to Rabbi Shmuel. He held that Tumas Mikdash Rekodshav is like all the other Yisurim in the Torah, namely, you don't need any Yediyah B'Tchila, even though he never knew of the matter. Nevertheless, when he doesn't know about it and does the Aveira, and then remembers he's going to have, and then realizes he's going to have to bring a Korban, and Rabbi Shmuel holds you don't need Yediyah B'Tchila, as we worked out in the first parak. Now, that's not the halacha, so therefore, in short, Reish Lakish is saying that this Braisa that we just quoted would not, in fact, be according to halacha. So, where's the coin to Rabbi Yochanan? It can be according to halacha, because in this case we would say suffix yediyah is ki yediyah. However, the Gemara points out, now that we have that machlokas, we seem to have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Yochanan and a contradiction between two statements of Reish Lakish. The Tanya, we have another braisa, ochal suffix chaylev. A person ate a piece which is sofek chaylev, you don't know whether it's chaylev or whether it's truman. V'noya, then he finds out that he had done that, and therefore that there's an oshem tolui involved. Sofek chaylev v'noya, then the same thing happened again. So now, is he bringing the chatas or not? Rebbe omer, k'shem she maybe chatas al kolach ha'vachon, kach maybe oshem tolui al kolach ha'vachon. So Rebbe says, the same way as with each one of them individually, he would have been bringing an Oshem Tolui, the same way as he would be bringing a Chatzas for each one, the same way he's bringing an Oshem Tolui for each one. So in other words, Rebbe would hold that basically that it means that he has to bring two Oshem Tolui's. We're going to see actually the Gemara is going to work out, the Gemara is going to mention a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan, and Reish Lakish, how to understand what Rebbe is saying. But, so Rebbe is saying, that there was going to be an Oshem Tolui for each one. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon, Omer, Mishum, Reb Shimon. Whereas meanwhile, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Shimon say, in the name of Reb Shimon, no, any maybe have an Oshem Tolui Echad. He brings only one Oshem Tolui. Shenemer al Shigigose al Shishogag, because the Pasuk says, Because the Pasuk says, for his mistake, for his inadvertence, that he was shogeg, meaning, I tell you, with those words, I tell you, the shogeges harbe, the oshem tolui echad. The Torah is giving us a ribui that even though there were many shogeges, he's being covered by only one oshem tolui. Now, what is the underlying explanation of what Rebbe says? So Reish Lakish says, "Kan shana Rebbe." In this connection, Rebbe taught the following fact: Yediyas Sfeikas Mischalkas Lachatoris. When you have a Yediyas Sfeik, that divides things as far as Chatos. Meaning, in other words, what you have is like this. So he ate the first piece, which we don't know whether it was Chaylev or not. If he finds out afterwards that it was chaylev, he's bringing a chatas for each one. So therefore, it's enough. Now, in other words, like this, we know that we talked about this previously. That if a person were to eat two kazesim of chaylev in one halem, during one period of unknowingness, then he would bring only one chatas. Well, Reish Lakish is saying like this. The fact that there's enough of it, the fact that there's a yediyas sofek in between is enough to divide it into two chatois. When he ate the first piece, if he had known afterwards that it's chaylev, he's bringing a chatas for each one individually, because he would have a yediyas vada in between, and therefore even yediyas sofek is enough that it's not considered behelam echad. So he doesn't know that each one is definitely chaylev. Each one is sofek chaylev. Nevertheless, Rebbe holds that's enough to divide it, and therefore to bring an oshem tolui specifically for each one. So in other words, we see that Rebbe holds Yediyas Sofek Mechalkas Lachatoris. So Reish Lakish says that when Rebbe taught this point in his Beis Medrash, he taught this point that Yediyas Sofek Mechalkas Lachatoris, that's in Yediyas Sfeikas Mechalkas Lachatoris, that even when all you have is Yediyas Sofek, that's enough to divide it, and therefore that each one is going to require a separate Chatas. So that's Reish Lakish's understanding of Rebbe's opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says that no, we have to understand Rebbe as follows. Kishem Shiyadiyas Vadai Ba'al Mischalkas Lachatoris, just like when it comes to, in general, knowing Vadai, if he knows for sure that it was Chaylev, then of course he's bringing a separate Chatas for each one. Kach Yadiyas Sofik Mischalkas Lachatoris. The same way, the Sofik Yadiyah that he has, he doesn't know whether each one was Chaylev or Shuman, it's going to divide it only as far as the Oshem Tolui, but not as far as the Chatas. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan is saying according to Reish Lakish, then what we're saying is that Rebbe is saying there could be a chatas separately for each one, and there could be an oshem tolui separately for each one. Rabbi Yochanan is saying that when it comes to something that he knows vaday that he did wrong, then it would be a chatas. The same thing for an oshem tolui. All you need is a yediyas sofek. But in other words, he's not saying that the yediyas sofek is enough to make a separate chatas for each one. So they're arguing about whether he's bringing a chatas for each one individually. Now, Rabbi Yochanan is holding that the Yediyah Safek is not enough to trigger separate Chatoris for each one. But meanwhile, before, Rabbi Yochanan had said that when he doesn't know whether he was, whether the Tumas Mikdash occurred after the first Shadil or after the second one, then Rabbi Yochanan said he's Chayev, because there we said also Safek Yediyah Ki Yediyah. Whereas over here, Rabbi Yochanan is saying no. So he's contradicting himself, and Rish Lakish is contradicting himself. Is the Yediyah Safek enough to be Machayev and Machatos or not? Now Tosfos explains that the Gemara is assuming that there's no difference between the Yediyah that we were talking about, the general Yediyah that you need for any korban, and he has to know that he did wrong, versus the Yediyah that's needed especially by Tumas Mikdash for Kodesh in order to get the whole process rolling. The Gemara at this point is assuming that there's no difference between them. So Reb Shimon Ben Yehuda, we could say that it would say that he would make that distinction, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish don't necessarily have to hold of that distinction. So therefore, the Gemara is bothered by it seems that they're contradicting themselves. So the Gemara says, Bishlema de Rabbi Yochanan, Adi Rabbi Yochanan Lekasha. Now, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan's two opinions, then fine, there's no contradiction. When Rabbi Yochanan says can also, or we said over here, when it comes to Tumas Mikdash Kodesh, the Chamev Safek Yediyah, like Yediyah, means V'loi B'cholat Torah Kula also means the Chamev are telling us that when it comes to the rest of the Torah, you don't care about that. In general, we would say that Safek Yediyah is not, but by Tumas Mikdash Kodesh is a special case, and therefore, so sort of Yochanan is not contradicting himself. And the reason would be Hocho de Lexivi Yediyah Behadya, because by the Korban Ola V'Yored, the Torah never says explicitly that you need Yediyah B'Tchila. How do we learn it? Mi V'Nelam Hu D'Kasi. We only learn it from the fact that it says V'Nelam, which implies that he knew it and then he forgot it, as the Gemara explained earlier in the first Perek, that the word V'Nelam implies something that he previously knew and then forgot. So therefore, so over here, it never actually says, to begin with, any concept of Yediyah. We only learn it from that. So therefore, we can say that even a Safek Yediyah is enough to start everything going. V'loy b'chol ha-Torah kula also, but when it comes to the rest of the Torah, that wouldn't apply. Diftiv, because the pasuk says, oy hoida elav, when there is informed to him, meaning Rabbi Yochanan would say, Yediyah mal yisab be'inan, you need a full-fledged Yediyah, and a Yediyah Safek is not enough. So fine, that explains Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. When it comes to Tumas Mikdash Kodesh, a Yediyah Safek is enough, and therefore he went on the one shvil and entered the Bais Mikdash, went on the other shvil, entered the Bais Mikdash, now he's going to be chayav a korban olav yored m'mon afshach. Each time it was only a Safek Yediyah, there we don't care, because the Torah never spells out there needs to be a Yediyah in the first place. We only learn it from the word V'Nelam. But when it comes to Chelev or anything else, there has to be a full-fledged Yediyah at the end, and here you don't have it, because to begin with, he didn't know each piece whether it was Chelev or Shulman. Ela Rish Lakish, but according to Rish Lakish, you have to ask, why is Rish Lakish forced to say that why is Rish Lakish forced to say that the Braisa that we just quoted is only according to Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, who says that by Tumas Mikdash Kodesh you never need Yediyah B'Tchila anyway? Instead, why does he need to do that? Adam Mukim like Rabbi Shmuel, instead of explaining that the Braisa is according to Rabbi Shmuel, Noik Makadebi. Why can't he instead learn that the Braisa is according to Rabbi? Where Rebbe is saying that, where Shlokish himself is saying that Rebbe holds Yediyah Safek Shmo Yediyah. So we would say that the Tanakama of the Braisa about the Shnei Shvilin holds that there's no difference between the special Yediyah B'Tchila that you need by Tumas Mikdash Kodesh and the Yediyah B'Soif that you need by that or by anything else. Either way, Yediyah Safek is enough. Rabbi Shimon would disagree with that point. So why does Rish Lakish not do that? Why is what forces him to say that the Braisa is like Rabbi Shimon? Tosfos points out that another point is we also have another opinion of Rebbe that would be relevant to this is what we had at the beginning of the parak, that he holds Yediyah Beis Rabbi Shmuel Yediyah. It doesn't even require that he ever knew that he became Tomei, as long as he knows the concept that a person touches a sheretz or what have you becomes Tomei. But Tosfos says in that case, then there wouldn't really be a chiddush in that, and there wouldn't be any chiddush in the Braisa. So rather, we would have to say that the Braisa is wants to highlight the opinion of Rebbe that we're talking about over here on Or Omud, where Rebbe Shlokish understands Rebbe to be saying that Yediyas Sofek is enough. So why does Rebbe Shlokish not explain the Braisa that way? So the Gemara says, "Hokamash Mulan," because Rav Shlokish wants us to know. Rabbi Shmuel, like Bor Yediyah B'Tchila, you should know that in fact you should be aware that Rabbi Shmuel does not require that Yediyah B'Tchila. In other words, without Rav Shlokish telling us that, we wouldn't have realized that Rabbi Shmuel holds that. We did touch on that in the previous parak, but we didn't really have in so many words that's the case until we learn it from this Braisa. So the Gemara says, why pshita deloy bari? Why? It's obvious that he doesn't hold of it. Midalei miyatri lekroi. Because when we discussed before on Daf Vav Zayin about the source for where you don't, for where, when we talk about where is the source for where you need yediyah b'tchila v'yediyah b'sof, we said that the Torah says twice the word v'ne'elam, and we said according to Rabbi Akiva and according to Rebbe, we learned from the word v'ne'elam twice, and it means that he knew and then he forgot. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel had used one of those v'ne'elams to teach us a different din, namely the din of On Mishnah that he's chayav whether for helam tuma or helam mikdash. So it's loy miyatri leikroy. He has nothing extra. V'ne'elam de mechayev al helam mikdash. And namely, he uses one v'ne'elam to teach us that he would be chayev also if he forgot that this was the bis mikdash. Unlike we said in our Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva holds that not. So therefore, so once we realize that, obviously Rabbi Shmuel is not going to hold that he needs a helam at the beginning because he doesn't have an extra pasuk for it. And the answer is, the Gemara says, fine. Ma'od Tema, without Rav Shlokish telling us, you would take less than a Kroi. Maybe Rav Shmuel doesn't know it from a positive. Avam a Gemara Yisrael, maybe he knows it from Halacha L'Mosh B'Sinai. Kamash Malon, therefore Rav Shlokish wants us to know that Rav Shmuel does not hold at all, not from the positive, because he doesn't have a positive for it, and not Halacha L'Mosh B'Sinai, that you need Yediyah B'Tchila. According to Rav Shmuel, you do not need Yediyah B'Tchila in order to be Mechayev him. The korban, all you need is like every other case of a chatos, where you need to have there was a helam, and then afterwards there's the idea of a seif. So that's why he mentions that the braisa that we were talking about is according to Rabbi Shmuel in order to explain to us Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. In the end, by the way, so we have two statements of Rabbi Shmuel: one that you don't need helam b'tchila, the other that you do need that he is chayev, whether there was helam tumah or helam mikdash, the halacha is like Rabbi Shmuel, and one of those, but not the other. And that when it comes to the yediyah b'tchila, you do need it. When it comes to the helam mikdash, that the halacha is like him, that whether he forgot the tumah or whether he forgot the mikdash, either way he's chayev in the korban. But as far as the point that you don't need yediyah b'tchila, that the halacha is not like Rabbi Shmuel, the fact is that you do need the yediyah b'tchila. Okay. Hadron alach yediyah satroma. Shabbat shalom, everyone.